Dr. William Luther Pierce. Playing Cards on a Sinking Ship, 1994.
On earlier programs, I've spoken to you about a number of important and specific topics. I've spoken about the disastrous effects of so-called free trade on the American economy. I've spoken several times about the campaign against Americans' constitutional rights by the forces of political correctness. I've examined the danger for America in the New World Order being pushed now by the Clintonistas. I've warned you about the gun control zealots in the government who want to disarm all law-abiding American citizens. All of these are important topics, really very important. But these things are dwarfed almost to insignificance by one overwhelmingly important problem that white Americans must deal with. And that is the loss of our will to survive as a people. To point out that so-called free trade is wrecking our economy, or to lament the encroachments of political correctness in these times, is almost like card players on the deck of the Titanic worrying about who will win the next hand. Today, instead of talking about the economy or about our constitutional rights, I want to talk to you about the fact that our ship is sinking. In my earlier talks, I've tried to be polite. I've tried to avoid offending or shocking anyone. Today, I need to be very blunt. I'm sorry if I offend you, but the time is very late and the matter at hand is far too urgent for politeness. I want to say a few things very plainly, very clearly, so that everyone can understand me. First, I want it to be clear exactly where I'm coming from, as the expression goes. I'm not speaking today as a conservative or as an advocate of constitutional rights. I'm not even speaking primarily as an American patriot. I'm speaking as a white man. I was born in this country of middle-class parents of English and Scotch-Irish ancestry. I had a fairly normal upbringing. I went to ordinary schools, had ordinary childhood experiences, worked at more or less ordinary summer jobs in various parts of the country as I completed my schooling, and eventually I began teaching at a university. And while I was doing these things, while I was growing up and studying and working, America, my country, the country my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents for many generations had built with their hands and their hearts and their brains and their blood, was being destroyed. It was being turned upside down and inside out, was being degraded, was being perverted into something ugly and alien. You've seen it all yourself. You know what I'm talking about. Now, I cannot claim to be much more public-spirited than the average citizen. My reaction to most of the destructive things which were happening around me was simply to withdraw and eventually to become alienated from the government and from large sections of society. I became cynical about politicians and lawyers and the churches and the media. I didn't think of these things which were happening to my country as my problems. I thought of them as other people's problems, as the government's problems, and I went on with my own affairs. I mention this because I want you to know that I understand this selfish tendency in people to ignore the problems around them. I understand this desire to not become involved. Up to a point, I am tolerant toward people who focus on looking out for themselves and refuse to take a stand against evil. As I said, I used to be that way myself. But the problems kept growing, and I kept thinking about them, and eventually I was forced to draw some conclusions. Eventually, I was forced to stop being just a spectator and to become involved. I've written about my conclusions in some of the books which are available from National Vanguard Books. I've spoken about some of them on previous American Dissident Voices broadcasts. Unfortunately, however, most of you who are listening now still haven't become involved. You're still just spectators, and the problems are becoming worse. And I've thought that perhaps part of the fault is mine. Perhaps I haven't stated things plainly enough or forcefully enough. Perhaps by dwelling on the details too much, I've not made it clear that you can't keep ignoring what's happening to your country, to your race, to your world. You must take a stand. You must begin acting like a responsible adult. So today, I'll keep things very simple. I don't want anyone to miss the point. There are two deadly threats, two external dangers aimed at our hearts today, which must be averted if white Americans are to survive as a people. One of these deadly threats is the growing number of non-whites in our country. Our virtually uncontrolled borders, an immigration policy which favors non-whites over whites, and a welfare policy which encourages the reproduction of the non-whites already here. These things will make us a minority in our own country before the middle of the next century. They already have made hellish jungles of the public schools in many of our cities and have lowered the standards drastically in nearly all our schools. They have turned many of our cities into places of filth, ugliness, squalor, and crime. And in doing so, they have ruined the lives of millions of our people who live in them. These cities used to be our homes, places where we worked and played and raised our children and felt ourselves part of a community. Today, they have become wholly alien to us, places where many of us still must live and work, but which we certainly no longer feel ourselves a part of. This threat, this growing presence of non-whites in our lives is not something that we can adapt to. We all know that there are people who are trying to adapt, people who tell themselves that they must learn to get along in a non-white world and even hope that there will be a place for their children in it. But in the long run, we can't adapt to it, and there will be no place in it for our children. The liberals imagine that by being trendy, by chasing after every new social, cultural, or political fashion promoted by television, every fashion which offends and disgusts healthy, free white men and women, they are adapting to what they think of as racial progress. They imagine that by encouraging their children to learn black jive talk and pick up rap ditties from MTV and look up to black basketball players as role models, they are assuring a place for them in the multicultural New World Order. But they aren't. They can't. Manifestly, the racial situation in America is becoming worse every year, and no matter how much they try to adapt, it won't be enough. Perhaps you live in a small town in Iowa or Kansas, and America's racial situation doesn't yet seem too bad to you. But if you live or work in almost any metropolitan area, you know that the situation is very bad indeed, and you've seen it getting worse at an alarming rate. If you think about how much worse the racial situation in your area has become in just the past 10 years, and if you imagine what it will be like in another 20 years, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that it will not be tolerable. Really, even if you are fortunate enough to be able to live in some part of the country which is not likely to become non-white for decades, just imagine how bad your economic situation will be with the government in Washington taxing the productive minority to support a non-white underclass which has become the majority. And if your children go away to school or to find work, they will be beyond your ability to protect them. Even today, No home which has a television receiver in it can claim to be a truly healthy environment for raising children. We cannot escape this evil by running from it. We cannot adapt to it, and we cannot ignore it. The second external danger threatening our people is the control of the news and entertainment media in America, and in much of the rest of the white world also, by the Jewish minority. We live today in a world dominated by television. People's information about what is happening in the world, and also their opinions about what is happening, their attitudes, come from their television screens. And what appears on those screens, what is fed into their minds and the minds of their children, is determined by a small alien minority in their midst. The people who control television, and most of the other mass media as well, effectively control our government. They control our government's policies. They control the types of laws we have. Certainly, they control the politicians because they control the image of a politician which is presented to the voters, and the politicians know that. The Clintonistas wouldn't be in the White House today if the controllers of the media hadn't put them there by persuading our increasingly debased and suggestible electorate to vote for them. It would be bad enough if our mass media were controlled by any small minority with its own private agenda. The fact that the media are controlled by Jews with their roots in the Middle East instead of in Europe, with a long history of nation wrecking, and with a religious belief that they were chosen to rule the world, is a disaster for us. Virtually every destructive policy which has been adopted by our government and every destructive attitude which has been adopted by our people have come from the Jews who control our mass media. The acceptance of homosexuality, the laws favoring non-whites over whites in employment, the promotion of abominations like rap music among our young people, the ruinous welfare and immigration policies, I could go on and on. All of this has come from the controlled media, and it will keep coming as long as the media are controlled by Jews. Do not imagine that groveling or self-flagellation on our part or any other effort by us to appease them or accommodate ourselves to them will persuade them to change their ways. These two things, the growing presence of non-whites among us and the control of our news and entertainment media by Jews, will destroy us if we do not put a stop to them. There will be no place in the world for our children and our grandchildren. Everything that our forefathers built will be destroyed and gone forever. Our civilization, our race, even the memory of us will be gone. We must deal with these two dangers, and we must deal with them now. I know that this is a frightening challenge for most of you. I know how most of you have been conditioned by the media to fear the label of white racist. I know that many of you are nervous even about being considered by your neighbors to be politically incorrect. But believe me, it really shouldn't be such a scary thing. The ranks of the politically incorrect are growing. You wouldn't learn this from watching television, but a good 20 to 30% of the white population of America already understand the two dangers I've just pointed out. And among you listening to me now, a substantial majority understand these things. You might not be ready to admit it in public yet, but you agree with me about the dangers facing our people. You agree, but you're still afraid to deal with these dangers. You're afraid to stand up and speak out against them because you've been conditioned by the controlled media to be afraid. They want you to be afraid, and so they've used all of their powers of persuasion to keep you frightened and silent. They want you to believe that no one will agree with you if you speak your feelings. They want you to believe that everyone will hate and revile you if you say that you would prefer to live in a white country and that you believe that Jewish control of the mass media isn't good for America. Of course, there are people who will hate you if you take a stand. The organized minorities will hate you. The homosexuals and the feminists and the Jews will hate you. And plenty of white people will hate you too. White people who are under the spell of the mass media. White people who really believe what they see and hear on television. White people who no longer have any sense of racial identity or loyalty, and who slavishly adopt every destructive trend and fad which comes from their television receivers. White people who have become part of the problem. But you will not be alone. 10 years ago you might have been alone, maybe even 5 years ago, but no longer. Now you will find that you have far more friends and far more supporters than you imagine. Far more people who will agree with you. 10 years ago, most white people thought that they could live with what was happening to America. They thought that things wouldn't get much worse than they already were. Now they understand that they were wrong. Now they understand that there is no living with the evil which is consuming us, no compromising with it. Now more and more of them are coming to understand that unless we take a stand against it and put an end to it, it will destroy us and our posterity. It will negate everything that makes life meaningful and worthwhile for us. That's why the response to our radio programs has grown so enormously. That's why we've gone from a single radio station to a network of 12 stations in just 2 years, and are now adding new stations to our network nearly every month. No, you won't be alone if you stand up for what's right, if you stand up for America and for your race, if you stand up against the evil which is destroying us. You'll not be alone, but instead, you'll be a part of the growing number of white Americans who finally are fed up, who finally are beginning to act like responsible adults instead of letting themselves be bullied into silence. You know, I'm really glad that you agree with me, even if you only agree partly, even if there are some things you still aren't sure about. And I'm glad if listening to our radio programs has helped you in any way to better understand the situation that white Americans are in. But what I'm telling you today is that agreeing and understanding aren't enough. What I'm telling you is that now you must stand up and be counted. I'm telling you that you no longer can simply be a spectator, that you no longer have the option of remaining silent and doing nothing. Not if you want to keep your self-respect. Not if you want your children and your grandchildren to respect your memory. Not if you want to think of yourself as a decent and responsible person. Not if you value your immortal soul. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm telling you that all of the things you've hated to see happening to America during the past 30 or 40 years, the things which have made you sick to your stomach, the things which you knew were evil, were false, were destructive, will only continue getting worse and worse if you remain silent and do nothing. America's cities will become blacker, uglier, more dangerous. America's schools will become more and more degraded. Interracial sex will continue to become more commonplace. Non-white immigrants, both legal and illegal, will continue to flood into the country. The welfare burden will continue to grow. More and more filth, like the Clintonistas, will be elected to public office. The New World Order will tighten its grip on the throats of our people, and the controlled media will keep on pushing, pushing, pushing more filth, more degeneracy, more darkness. The liberals will keep calling the darkness progress. And I know that many of you who understand that surrendering to evil is not progress will tell yourselves that it's not yet too bad, that even though we don't like what's happening, it's still possible to live with it. And I say that if you try to live with evil and do not oppose it, then you will lose your soul. You cannot respect yourself, and your children cannot respect you. You cannot be an honorable, upright man or woman. And really, what I am asking you to do is not so difficult or dangerous. All I want you to do is make a decision now to accept your responsibility as a white man or woman. I want you to stop being a passive spectator while your country, your civilization, and your race are destroyed. I want you to say to yourself, all right, I've had enough. From this day, I will no longer tolerate those who are stealing my children's future. I will do everything in my power to oppose them. And when you say that to yourself, I want you to mean it. I want you to think about your situation, your resources, your skills and abilities, and I want you to decide how you can best do what needs to be done. I want you to write to me and tell me about your decision. And if I can advise you about what you need to do, I will. Perhaps the right thing for you to do will be to work with me and the National Alliance to continue expanding our radio network and reaching more people with our programs. Or perhaps the right thing for you will be something else. But this I know, together you and I can make a difference.